Hi, welcome to Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. I'm Jay Thomas. The whole gang's here. Good morning, Rick.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jill.
Good morning.
Wow. So, Rick, how was Disney?
Disney was good.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was being with the grandchildren is the funnest thing, right? So it's
the best thing is my dad's not a roller coaster person anymore.
No, I used to be.
Used to be? Yeah.
I can't do it now.
How did you discover that before we continue the story?
Just being on one and feeling I'm gonna get sick.
And so I was watching the videos, and it's just my niece is just about two, so
that's
she's got like the perfect age, and she's got the personality of big personality, and she's in this little tutu with this Minnie Mouse skirt.
Oh my gosh!
There's a disco going on, and it's dark, and the lights are off.
All the rest of them are on a ride, and I'm just dancing with my 2-year-old.
My dad is just breaking out the dance moves with Annie. It's the cutest thing ever. They're just having the best time. Yeah. I love that video.
That's very cute. Yeah. Is that like old enough to go? Can you put a kid like that on the teacups or any of those little rides?
That's what was so fun for Grandpa and Grandma, that we could just spend more time with.
Oh, okay.
With the rest of the older ones going. I have one picture with me holding my son's hand and Kim holding the granddaughter's hand and got all the kids going out to Disneyland. You know?
Cute. Very cute. Awesome.
Oh, I love it.
And weather was hot? Not hot. What was it?
It was nice. It was pretty nice. There was one day it wasn't quite as nice, but it's still around, 28, 30
degrees. Ooh, that's pretty warm.
So it was warm.
That's warm.
One day it was cooler, but it was, we spent, a bunch of time when the kids went to the parks or something like that. We just spent it at the water park and that kind of stuff. So we had lots of fun.
And was it still like spring there with the flowers? Did everything look all manicured and nice? I know Disney World is kind of known for changing out their plant displays for seasonally.
So. Right.
Yeah, there's lots of different types of flowers there. It's different though. It's kind of a really different. It's not like what we do, when you go to Bouchard Gardens or something like that, we get lots and lots of color,
Yes.
Because you remember, Disney World is a concrete. We went to Disney Plant, Animal Planet.
Kingdom.
That's my forte.
Is it? Okay.
All the plants and everything else. It was great. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they do a pretty neat job of that. And you're right. It is very different, right?
It's totally different.
The foliage, everything. Yep. Even the grass, it's like this wide, waxy quack grass type stuff, you know? So everything is different when it comes to the plants.
But it's just so fun to watch your granddaughter, have a, because, I speak Donald Duck to her. So she's a Donald Duck.
Have you ever heard him speak Donald Duck?
I don't know if we would recover if we could get on air here.
She has a Donald Duck, like stuffed toy in her hand, And then her mom brought over Moana, right?
Oh, yeah.
And her eyes just went.
Moana's her favorite.
Five times larger. Just drop the Donald Duck. she says, Moana.
That's cute.
It was so funny. It was fun.
Very cool. Very cool. Welcome back. And thanks, everybody who's listening to us for joining us this morning.
We had to give somebody something to smile about since the Blue Jays lost last night.
I know.
So it's good. It's good now,
That was a really tough game to watch.
Until next year.
I could barely breathe from the top of the ninth on. I just couldnn't. I don't know if I even had three breaths.
I think everybody was sitting on the edge
of their
seat.
It's funny. I was at the Husky hockey game and had my phone out watching the game. And then an intermission, they put it up on the screen above the rink, of the game. And it's too bad.
It really is. Yep. Yeah, it really is. But what a season.
Big time.
And they were the underdog the whole way through.
Yep.
I'm a bandwagon jumper. I don't profess to be much about the Blue Jays in any depth. I like baseball, but
I'm a hockey football person, but I definitely jumped on the bandwagon.
I even got into this season. So.
Even though we lost, I want a hat. Yeah. I want a hat now.
Absolutely.
I totally do. Yeah. So, okay, 1-877-332-8255. That's the number you can call to join the conversation. You can text us with that number, and you can call us with that number. Let's just quick check the text line really quick. We got, I think, a couple that have rolled in so far. So we'll start with some of those. Before we get to that, though, we always ask this question to start the show off, is what's going on in the Garden Center right now? And we were talking about that before we got on air.
Took out the hay bales yesterday morning.
That's the pumpkin maze, right?
Yeah. The whole greenhouse is full of these straw bales, right? And all the pumpkins and everything else that was left. We took all that out and washed the floors and washed the walls and getting ready for the big chocolate cure cancer fundraiser coming up this next Friday. And
cool.
And if you haven't got your tickets, I think the ticket sales closed today. So they did close on Friday, but they're leaving the site open until today. So if you want to grab a ticket, yep, you can still do that.
So it's Chocolate Cure. What's the event this year? Because it's been a fashion show before, so right?
There's two events every year.
Oh, okay.
So the fashion show is the one in September.
Oh, all right.
And then the gala happens every year in November. We did not do a fashion show this year. We did a ladies' night out this year instead, which was really well attended. And last year we raised $220,000 for the Cancer Center at the gala. So it's a pretty great event to purchase a piece of equipment for our Cancer Center here in Saskatoon.
And this year it's all about a piece of equipment that helps basically pinpoint your cancer through genetics and that kind of stuff that it goes way quicker where they can actually, you know, go the right route to curing the cancer. And so, and I believe there's only two in Canada, and Saskatoon is going to have, and which keeps doctors around, is going to have the only two in Canada.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So this is, it's huge. And so we're fundraising for that. And ever since Chocolate Cure started, maybe people don't know that, but we raised over $3 million to buy actual equipment and put it into the cancer center.
That's amazing.
To help men, women, and children fight cancer.
So that's going on. The gala is coming up. You can get a ticket still today. And then after the gala is done, it's like almost straight into
the Christmas trees arrive.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Now, if you were on our Instagram page, another little fun thing is all the trees, they kind of got laid on their side, and a couple of my staff brought their sleeping bags to work, and they laid down beside the trees and and had a little nap. They said, it's time to go to bed. So all the trees and shrubs are packed up and ready to go to bed. So we did that, and same with our perennials. We cut them all back, gave them a good water, and it's time to put them under the blanket. So that's just the same thing with people who have perennials or trees or shrubs or anything in their yard. Get them into the ground because it's time to get them ready to go to bed.
Cool.
One last little point about Chocolate Cure is that, you know, there's people from all over the province listening, and if they want to, because Saskatoon Cancer Center, I mean, there's people come from all over the province here.
So, right, everybody comes to Saskatoon.
So if you want to help donate to that, you don't have to actually be at the event. You can just go to chocolatecure.com, or, you know, you can link it through the Dutch Growers website in Saskatoon. Mm-hmm. And then you can actually donate, and you'll get a tax receipt from this the Saskatchewan Cancer Foundation as well.
Okay. Good to know that. Perfect. All right, let's go to our text line at 1-877-332-8255. This is from Pat, and Pat says, I live just south of the city. My asparagus ferns are about 6 feet tall. 6 feet?
Yep.
Holy.
Yep.
Great producers. The ferns haven't turned completely gold. When is the latest date I can trim them?
Now, is she talking asparagus ferns or asparagus plants like a vegetable?
Well, I don't have a picture.
I think she's talking
tall,
the vegetable.
The vegetable,
I'm just reading it from what he or she wrote.
So with asparagus, it's the width of those ferns that you're looking at. So you want the width of those ferns to be about a width of a pencil or your pinky finger.
Okay.
Then you can cut them back. Otherwise, I leave them up and then cut them back in the spring. So that's kind of the general rule of thumb with those.
Okay. So that's how you measure it, Pat, and hope that
gives
you a guide.
Yeah, so it's not how tall they are, it's how wide they are.
I can't believe it. If it's 6 feet tall, they actually stand up and handle the wind.
A lot of times they do lay over
because
they're that tall. Right,
We'll get one more in here before our break. This is Lynn, who's in North Battleford. Good morning. I've got 3 grocery store bought roses. Can I trim them down by a third before I cover them for the winter?
Yeah, probably they're so small, you could just cover them right over if you wanted to.
Okay, yeah.
Because you want to cover them high anyways to get lots of different mulch. So you could trim them down because you want to trim them down in the spring anyways, but I'd cover them right over completely.
Right, yeah, right? Insulate them totally, yes. And Lynn goes on to say, my perennial mums are still green and blooming. Can I cut them down and can I water them in now?
I would leave them in until they start turning brown or have gone dormant a little bit before I cut any of those back. You want the energy to go back down into the roots.
Yeah, so. I have some asters that are along my driveway that were like huge blooming, you know. But this week, I'm probably going to cut them down. The flowers are pretty much done now, but you can still see all the purple, you know, all the big round mounds. Mm-hmm. But if a snowstorm comes at the end of the week, I'm not sure if one will or not, but I don't want to just drift on my driveway, so I'm going to have to cut them down pretty soon.
Yeah. All right.
So, yeah, I guess the long and short is if you have to, you can do it, but I usually like to wait till they look like they're dormant. Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break right now. We'll touch on the weather, what's coming up, and what that could mean for us by the end of the week. It's a possibility. It's in the forecast. We'll talk about that in a second. And then, of course, texts and calls on the way. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to Garden Talk. I'm Jay Thomas with Rick Van Dyvendyke and Jill Van Dyvendyke. And I hope you had a great weekend so far. Thanks for spending the Sunday morning here with us. We've got some texts to go through, so let's keep going with that, I guess.
Awesome.
1-877-332-8255. Okay, next one is from Mark. Mark is in Bigger and says, we planted our garden in a new spot this year. It had been a hay field for decades. We sprayed it out, disced it, spiked it, rototilled it. Cucumbers, carrots, and beans were amazing. Corn and peas, mediocre. Potatoes, lots, but very small. All were irrigated. Why the small potatoes?
Small potatoes, I think it had to do a lot with the sun, the way the sun was this year. Because even my potatoes were small. But then my daughter, and with the heat, obviously, my daughter had a raised garden bed, and her potatoes were giant.
Right.
And so I think this had to do with, you know, just the amount of heat and everything else. And, because one thing in potatoes is that you don't want to, it should have been perfect for that type of situation with the hayfield, right? Because you don't want too much, organic matter, but there's probably just enough that there was some nutrients there, right, to get them growing.
And does hay break down quickly, or is it slow to break down in the soil?
Well, it depends how much hay there was there, right?
Okay.
But otherwise, you may want to check the pH of your soil. You know, that's one thing that's important if you got, especially a new area, check the pH of the soil because, the potatoes like a little bit higher pH. A lower pH, so a little bit more sulfur based or aluminum sulfate based. And so check that out. In different parts of Saskatchewan, has a different pHs in their soils, right? So Regina's more neutral. Saskatoon's more higher pH. So and all over the place it would change, right? So just check your pH as well.
What should the pH be at for
potatoes?
Around
6.5 to 7. Okay, that's where it should be.
The other thing that you will get if you aren't hilling your potatoes, you will get smaller potatoes too. Yep. So if you're making sure that you're hilling them as well too, which means piling the soil up around the plant as they grow. So that could also be something as well too. And then inconsistent watering. So if it's something's going, if you had irrigation, it's going really wet and then really dry, it's just making sure that it's consistent.
And corn is very heavy feeders. Like they need lots of nitrogen, right? So, and lots of organic matter to get them to really do a lot of growing.
Mark said corn and peas are mediocre.
Yeah. So you've got to watch, you know, the peas. One thing to do is inoculate your peas. So making sure that it has that inoculant there to make them so that they can fix the nitrogen. And so maybe that's been the reason why you're somehow.
What do you mean by inoculate your peas?
It's a powder.
Yes.
It's a powder you put around them, and it's like our almost like a mycorrhizum type of thing. It's a bacteria that makes them grab the nutrients and fix the nutrients so the plant can grab it. So you may want to think about putting some biochar into your soil in that new garden as well. That'll be huge to help to make all these condos for all this bacteria to be able to feed the plants because they break down all the organic matter and give it to the plants. And so the plants can't just grab it themselves. It needs all that natural stuff in the soil, that the organic material in the soil that helps feed it.
Also have to remember, we had a late start to the season this year, with the weather being cooler in the spring. So a lot of things were later. So if we're seeing some mediocre or some later crops this year, that's also the reason why.
Right. Yeah. And then when you have less time, the potatoes just have less time to get bigger.
Like our tomatoes were really late this year. I pulled off a lot of green tomatoes this year, and I never did any of that last year. So
So Mark, hopefully that answers some of your question there. Keep doing what you're doing though. Looks like it's on the right track. We got a text in here at 1-877-332-8255 from Linda. Linda has sent us a couple of pictures, and the question is, a house plant. There's new leaves that seem to be forming on the dead parts of the house plant. Do I pinch off the dead pieces or leave it? And this is one of those, I can't remember what the name of that is. You'll know right away.
It's a transcanthia or a wandering dude.
Yeah.
And it's got some dry tips on it. And so what I would do is I would just trim those dry tips off. It actually will help promote some branching. Now, when you brought it inside, the biggest thing is consistent watering. So stick your finger into the soil, make sure it feels dry to the touch before you're watering it will be really important. And then I would throw a grow light on it too. So that will help keep it through the winter season. With that one as well, you can take some cuttings off of it and throw it in some water and make some new plants as well.
Okay. All right. So there you go, Linda. Just a little bit more love with that thing. It's going to probably go a long way. 1-877-332-8255. Irene is in Martinsville, one of our regulars. Good morning. When should raspberry bushes be trimmed back?
You could do it this fall if you take out the old canes, what I call the third year canes. Okay, so the ones that did most of the producing this year, all the younger canes, leave them up. Don't trim them unless they're 6 feet tall. You can trim them down to, you know, like 3 or 4 feet tall.
Now, if you have a raspberry patch that's got out of control, can you trim it back? You just not are going to have a good enough crop next year?
Yeah, well, the only reason I trim it back, because otherwise it's going to get knocked down with the snow and everything else. I mean, you look at the U-picks and that kind of stuff, they actually put trellising up, like they put, you know, posts and wire up, and they actually attach their vines to the posts so they hold them up, you know. But other than that, you can trim them back a little bit so that they get a little more sturdy. But otherwise, yeah, definitely leave the younger canes alone, because those are the ones that are going to give you all your production next year.
Okay, let's move to our next text. This is from Dal, who's in Saskatoon. This is an interesting one, because we get this one once in a while, and Dal says, this is about poplar saplings coming into my yard. I cut them off, then two pop up.
Yep.
What's the best way? Roundup, path clear, weekly, what to do? So yeah. this is a complicated question, because if it's a tree, if it's coming from a tree, like say in a neighbor's yard, right? You have some considerations, right?
Yeah, the best way to do it is go about 3 or 4 feet away from, you know, the fence, or if the trunk, it depends where the trunk of the tree is, right? If it's right up against the fence, like if you have a tower poplar or something like that, go 3 or 4 feet away from the fence and then cut a trench.
Yes.
Okay, so you're trying to sever the umbilical cord to the suckers.
The problem is if you spray Roundup,
yeah,
on the shoots that come up,
it can translocate back to the tree,
and you'll kill your neighbor's tree, or maybe even your tree. Maybe we're talking about this person's Dal's tree. It's his own tree, you know.
Yeah, or even just a part of that tree too. Maybe just that side of the tree will weaken, right? That you're spraying.
The best way is to you know, along the grass area, make a trench.
Yes,
and then put some two layers of landscape fabric vertical in the trench. Should be 12 inches deep at least, and then. Or some plywood or whatever, anything, a barrier so the roots can't grow back. Mm-hmm. And once they do that, then you can paint next year when those suckers are growing, you can paint some Roundup on them and kill those roots out.
Right. It'll kill the part that's separated now.
That's separated.
And then it'll stop that from growing and sending
up
more shoots.
But otherwise, if you keep trimming it, you're going to eventually end up on a big stool bed, and you won't even be able to walk out there with bare feet on your grass, because it'll be all these pokies out
there. Now, instead of trimming it, could I use Roundup Advance just to burn it down and then I don't get that stool bed?
Yeah, you can use the Roundup Advance. But Roundup Advance is also going to make a dead spot for your grass too. It'll burn, not a dead spot, it'll burn it. The grass will come back again, but it'll keep burning that, right? Mm-hmm. So the best way is to eliminate the problem.
Yeah.
Let's go to iTuna with a quick question on the phones from David. Morning, David.
Hi there.
What do you got for us?
Well, in spraying my lawn this fall for snow mold prevention over the spring, what's my best option for fungicide? Is it a triazole or is it a strobilene, or what's the best to use to prevent that snow mold from showing up in the springtime?
Yeah, I'm not too familiar with those two, but I mean you. But the one I'm telling people, because they can get it retail-wise, is if just the home gardener, is just copper sulfate.
I used it on my yard, and it worked great on my front yard last year.
But any fungicide will help, you know, bring down the effect of anything. And some people, like in the farming community, you can get a lot more different fungicides than people in the residential area. Anything that will suppress a mold, okay, basically that's what you want.
Okay, and am I too late right now, or is now still a perfect time?
Perfect time.
Okay.
Yep, perfect time.
Thank you.
Thanks, David. Have a great day.
You bet.
1-877-332-8255. Time for a news update. I'm Jay Thomas with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 650 CKOM and 980 CJME. Welcome back to the show. I'm Jay Thomas. Rick and Jill Van Dyvendijk are here, and we've got some texts to get through. So thank you for spending Sunday morning here with us. I said we'd talk about this when we got back, and that is that we could see some precipitation of various kinds by the end of the week in the forecast. You know, there's funny because on social media, Facebook and stuff like that, there are these other weather groups. Have you ever seen those?
Yeah,
you know,
I've seen
and
that,
they kind of make they make lots of doomsday predictions, right?
Time.
Oh my gosh, there's 30 centimeters of snow coming to whatever. Yeah. Then you go to the more trusted sources, you know, like Environment Canada and the Weather Network and places like that.
One millimeter, that kind of stuff.
So, well, yesterday was predicted to be cold, dreary, and rainy, and it was a beautiful day to get yard work done. So.
Right, there you go. So right now, the more trusted sources do show by kind of Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, maybe even Saturday, depends, somewhere in there seeing cloudy showers in Regina, in Saskatoon. It may be more towards the snow end of things.
So mixed rain.
But there's plus temperatures during the day forecasted, so that means it's not like going to stick, right? So we'll see what happens with that. That's good timing though, right? To like water in, so to speak, some of our plants.
If you have some cedars in that, then and you can probe the soil. If you may not have to, and there might be enough moisture there right now. But if you just probe the soil with that piece of rebar, and if you find that, especially around your cedars or your evergreens, junipers, and that, that they're a bit dry, you can't stick that probe in the ground because it's pretty dry. Then you can take some pails of water out, or if you've got a tap that's separate from your irrigation, like grass manifold, you can turn that on and water things, right?
But then even just by nature, this event kind of happening is kind of a good thing.
But it's not
kind of a good thing, right?
It won't be enough moisture to deep water the plants.
Right,
so
okay.
It's because I had lots of questions about that. Is that, you know, what do I do with my little spruce trees? You know, you want to build up their moisture right now so they can get right through the wintertime.
Okay. Let's go to our text line, 1-877-332-8255. Julie is in Battleford. Julie's one of our regulars. The topic is ladybugs in winter. So Julie says, I've got a wood slat sidewalk. There's gravel under and then concrete on one side and lawn on the other side. So it's kind of like going down the middle, right? Lots of ladybugs are hibernating under this sidewalk, but I usually shovel the walk clear of snow in the winter. This year, would that be harmful for the ladybugs if they're underneath those wood slats?
The ladybugs will find a place to hibernate, so you don't need to worry about that. But the one thing that you want to do is if you have any leaves or anything like that, leave some debris somewhere in your yard that's nearby where the ladybugs can go and hibernate in that area.
I guess she's wondering, though, if they go to hibernate underneath this slats, and then all of a sudden we got, you know, some nice snow and it's all insulated and we go clear it all off. Now, is it too cold for them underneath those slats?
Yeah, it could be. It could be because it's even an inch of snow. But I mean, the slats, I mean, you get snow that will fall between the slats as well, right?
Uh-huh,
a little
right.
bit. But I mean, it will be. But, you know, the bugs are quite amazing that they just go into deep dormancy and they kind of freeze and they just perk back up again. But, you know, you will lose some of them because, absolutely, when you get a harsh winter, that's what gets rid of a lot of our bugs that aren't natural here that cause lots of problems, and our cold is what protects us.
Right.
You know, it wipes them out. So,
why we've been lucky not to see some of these diseases that are spread by bugs.
Like the emerald ash borer is having a hard time getting, until it gets acclimatized, it's having a hard time getting to Saskatchewan, right? Because it's so cold.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing in one way, but it could affect some of those. But, I mean,
remember as well, like when I receive, when they're shipping ladybugs, they actually ship them frozen to us. And then you warm them up, and then that's what makes them come alive.
Yep.
So making them go dormant and freezing isn't necessarily a bad thing.
So maybe Julie, you know, maybe you're overthinking it. Yep. Don't worry about it too much.
But they aren't that frozen though. Mm-hmm. They're more in a cold state, cooler, you know, because you keep them in a fridge afterwards and that kind of stuff. But yeah, no, you might lose some of them, but then there'll be other ones in the yard that'll be doing the job. Yeah.
Andrew's in Saskatoon on the text line. Hi, guys. I've got some spruce trees seedlings in styro cell seed trays I grew this year.
Yep.
Wondering about winter care. The only till dirt I have is a raised garden bed. to bury the containers. Could I just put them in a sheltered corner that will get snow cover?
Yeah, snow cover is huge. And the raised garden bed, depending on how wide they are, if they're narrow, it's not going to help, really.
Right.
Because the frost will go right through the side. If it's a big, wide bed, then plant them right in the middle if you can.
So like, I guess he's saying as an alternative, could I just put them in a sheltered corner that I'll got snow cover? Could I add more insulation somehow?
Yes.
Open
yes.
for the best succession rate to yeah. make it till spring.
Stick them all together. Pile up the edges with dirt or mulch,
yeah,
right, and then even throw some mulch over top of your styrofoam, just a little bit of cover over top, right, and the styrofoam will protect the sides as well. But at some place, which is key that you talked about, is that making sure that there's a good spot where there's good snow cover.
Right, is getting the snow on top yep. and keeping it on.
Yep.
And then if it's starting to melt away for some reason, getting it back on top.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah. Until we actually have real yep. spring.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's keep going here. 1-877-332-8255. Sue is in Eagle Lake. Because of the warm late temperatures this fall, my bonsai Japanese maple tree that spends spring, summer, and fall has not dropped its leaves. Have taken it inside. How to set the stage for it now to drop its leaves to be... You know, is it put in? It's put in cold storage. Yeah. Sue says all the time for the winter. So yeah. looking for advice.
What I would probably do with that one is even if you could put it outside during the day right now and decrease your watering on it, it's going to drop its leaves. If you're going to put it into cold storage, it's going to naturally go through that process as well too. So if it hasn't dropped its leaves, you need to decrease your watering a little bit too. Because yeah. if you keep fertilizing it and watering it, it's going to keep growing and think it's the season's continuing.
Yeah. Right. So okay.
decrease your watering, allow it to receive some of these cold temperatures, or put it right into the cold storage area.
Give it a bit of a drought, mm-hmm. but not total drought.
Mm-hmm. And then you could say get it back outside during the day.
You could if you wanted to.
Just to get some cool. Or if the nighttime is going to be, you know, like, you know, above zero, just leave it out there. Don't let it, if it's going to go zero or lower, don't leave it out there.
Well, right. Even my Japanese maples, I allowed them to have that first soft frost hit yep. them, and they kind of dropped all of their leaves that way. And then put them into my garage and them getting them ready to go, yep. go dormant. So. Yep.
Kate, let's go to another text here. This is out to North Battleford. And Larry says, my wife was given a plumeria plant. She started it in the spring. Mm-hmm. It's doing really well. It has got several leaves, but now has spider mite. How do we get rid of that?
With spider mite, you're best to increase the humidity in your area. Now, with plumeria, you don't want to have too much humidity. That your plant, your soil is going to get wet and you'll start having fungus gnats and all of those types of things too. But, the best product that I could say to use on that would be Endol. And you would spray that on the underside of the leaves and do that about every 12 to 14 days in about 3 to 4 cycles.
Okay. All right. This is Tina and says, good morning. I was looking for some garlic bulbs to plant indoors yesterday, but couldn't find any. Yep. Will organic bulbs work just as well?
Yeah, this should work. It depends if they were coated. If they're organic, they shouldn't have been coated with anything, right?
Right, that's the theory.
So that probably will work for them. And because sometimes they're coated, the other ones are coated so they won't sprout, right?
Yeah, right.
So, but otherwise, organic ones should work.
Or you can pick it up in the spring too. We'll always be selling garlic.
Yeah, we'll have garlic in the spring as well.
Okay, there's another option there.
Yep.
Okay. Not sure who this is from, but the texter says, I've trimmed the back knot, a black knot off of my Schubert for a few years and can't keep up. I want to take it down. Should I be worried about the fungus on the lawn as it gets cut down?
No. Not at all. It only affects the chokecherry family.
Okay.
Which is Mayday and Schubert's and, you know, the chokecherries and those kind of things, native chokecherries. It doesn't affect other plants.
And that's the sad reality, but it is real, that reality that sometimes, you know, you can do your best to get that black knot out, but it overtakes the tree, right?
It's a chore to keep it going, especially if it gets into the main trunk.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And we've got lots of alternatives of trees that are very nice
you go with spring snow flowering crab, you know, you get, you know, tons of flowers like crazy.
Yep.
And no fruit.
And then is it more disease resistance, this black knot?
You don't get the black knot out. I mean, you can possibly get fire blight in it, but I mean, you haven't seen it that much, very much at all.
Right. Okay. So there's a good alternative to the Schubert. Yep.
Just clean up all of your branches. Make sure you just take them to the landfill.
Yep. Okay. We got the lightning round coming up next. We're going to go to a break. I'm Jay Thomas with Jill and Rick. This is Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome to the lightning round here in Garden Talk. We're going to answer all of our texts, in order that they came in. So stay tuned for a nice quick answer for your text here. We'll get y'all all taken care of. Gene is in Regina on the text line. Enjoy the program, Gene says. I still have garlic to plant. How deep and how far apart should I plant it? Plant them.
Just so they're not touching, basically.
So, like, just a half inch between?
No, as long as they're not touching, let them, you know, to be able to grow a little bit.
I say like a hand. Yeah. Hand
oh, like a hand width.
Yeah. Or even a little bit less. It's fine. As long as they're not touching, they can grow, right?
And, so it's about like two-ish inches, and, 3 inches. Yeah.
And
like
depth should be at least 4 inches to 6 inches.
Six inches deep it would be perfect. If you go 8 inches, it's a little bit too deep for
them. Yeah, too deep for that.
Okay. All right. Maury's in Saskatoon. Good morning. My red roses were awesome this year and are currently 5 feet high. Should I trim them down now? And if so, how much?
Best way to do is depending on the variety of rose it is, but most roses I would suggest just leaving them until spring. And then because they act like little snow fences and catch lots of snow to protect them. And then basically in March or the first week of April, just trim them back at least a third.
Okay.
Up to a half.
All right. There you go.
Okay.
Shelly is the RM of Blucher. My sunflower leaves had black dots on the leaves and the stalks. Can I still harvest the seeds? And is there anything I can do to prevent or prepare soil so it doesn't happen again?
Yeah. So the black dots are either, it depends. It could be a lot of things. It could be water sitting on the leaves and causing a fungal, or it could be a bug that was causing it. So we'd have to determine which one it was. You can definitely still harvest the seed.
Yep.
But if you think it was fungal at all, then I would get rid of all of the branches and throw them into your
the seed should
garbage.
Be fine though, but just get rid of all the
seed should be okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then next year, is there anything to do to prevent, like, what do you?
It depends on what it was. So if you want to even take a sample of it to the garden center or take a picture, send it to info@dutchgrowers.com. We can definitely help you out with
best
that.
Way is try not to use overhead sprinklers every day when you're watering your garden, right?
Mm-hmm. Ah, yes.
Just put your water on the ground. That's absolutely the best way.
That okay, so that could be if it's the fungus, that's the way to kind of fix that.
If you can fix that, just try to put the water on the ground.
Okay, all right. David is in Saskatoon. I'm involved in a community garden, and potato beetles are a big issue. I've seen grafted tomato on a potato. They had lots of tomatoes and a large amount of potatoes. Can't seem to find them for sale. I've seen videos how to graft them. What do you think? It'd be a real problem solver for community gardens.
We had this plant. We carried it a couple of years ago. We called it ketchup and fries. And it's a grafted one. The reason why we don't carry it as much is it's quite an expensive plant because of the process it is. So you're paying about $20 per plant.
Oh, wow.
And then for your yield and everything like that, people weren't just finding they weren't getting enough value out of that plant.
Yep.
So
it wasn't,
we were only maybe selling a dozen or so of them. So it wasn't worth bringing in anymore. But you can find it every once in a while. Sometimes I'll bring it in as a novelty item in the garden center. I don't know.
But there is a video on how to graft them. So I guess you could do it yourself, right?
You definitely could, but it is an art.
Otherwise, with your potatoes, just start companion planting, right? Mm-hmm. Planting other plants in amongst your potatoes.
To help with the
potato beetles.
Garlic, mint, those types of things are great.
The little flowers, what are they called?
Marigolds?
Thank you. Yeah, that's it. Marigolds. Yeah, that's another one we talk about, right? So, okay. David, hope that's some advice for you in that situation. Our next text is from Judy at Echo Lake. Should we cut down peonies now and leave as mulch over them? I guess it's sort of two questions.
Yeah,
should we cut them down?
Peonies are perennial, so they come back down from the base every year, so you want to cut them down. Now remember, they set their kind of their eyes in the fall, so you want to make sure you're not digging around them.
Don't cut too low to the ground.
And when you're cutting them, make sure you're actually cutting them off. I see some people pull the dead leaves out, and then you can pull the part of the root out as well, too. So cut them back, mulch a little bit is perfect.
Or otherwise leave them and cut them back in the spring.
Yeah.
Either way.
Okay. Here's a picture from a texter. You can see that's a tree there. And the text goes, Helen in Warman says, this is a view of our Norkant apple tree. It's about 4 years old. Developed this wound on the side of the trunk. It produced 3 apples the year before last, so a while ago. This year, nothing. What would you recommend for winter care and what to do with it?
We're seeing some cracks going down the stem, almost as if it's like a frost cracks.
It's almost like that this tree may have had a Y in it at some point, and they selected one to go up.
Actually, what's, you know,
with a crook in the
with the sun skull also on the base of that plant, the damage that's been done, you're not going to have a whole lot because the sap, all that on the one side of the trunk there, the bark is all damaged. So the only way the sap is getting to the top of the tree is up the other side of the trunk
where it's not damaged. If it's not damaged, we can't see even that.
I would suggest if you want to try to also, now's the time to put your tree guards on your fruit trees, okay, to prevent sun skull and rodents, right? So now's the time to put those tree guards, is either a spiral one or a corrugated one. Get them on now because now we're going to get snow, so you want to protect them. But otherwise, I would suggest with that tree there is that be thinking about putting a new one in so that it can replace that one once that one goes.
Right. So it's
because that one's never going to be much of a tree anymore.
It's going to deteriorate.
It's going to deteriorate.
Yeah. And it's just not going to produce.
Insects are going to move in and it's going to rot more in the inside because the bark's going to fall off and it's just going to, it's not going to be a mature tree.
Okay. All right. So, that's probably not the hell in the news you're looking for, but it's kind of reality in this case. So, yeah. Okay. Jeanette is in Regina, says, good morning. I've had my amaryllis in dormancy for about a month. What do I do now?
You can take it out of dormancy. If it's not in a pot, put it in a pot about an inch on either side of the bulb, bigger in diameter. Start giving it some water and sunlight, and it should be blooming in about 4 weeks.
Yeah. Okay. Transplanting it, whether you put it back in the same pot, is I always find is huge. Just gives it that stress that makes it want to go into that cycle.
And if you have some bone meal, you can throw that in with the soil as well, too. Yep.
Perry is in Victory and says, good morning. I've got two large hasscap bushes. Can I trim them now or should I wait until spring? And can I expect fruit in the spring after trimming?
Yes.
So,
either one.
So now or the spring, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
And even after trimming, we should get fruit on that.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
And just thinning them out a bit so the sunlight gets inside of them and that kind of stuff as well is important.
Okay. All right. Let's see. This is Laverne, who's in Regina. How late do you water grass in the fall? I'm still able to water on the nice days. I've been watering once or twice a week. I have some new grass I seeded on October 2nd. I'm trying to nurse along, which I think is still germinating. That's going to be a little bit tough.
Yeah, I don't want that. I don't want that to germinate anymore. I want it to grass seed to sit now, okay? Because if it pops up in little hairs, and you get hard frost and no snow, you might just lose it.
Right.
Okay. So now I just probe the soil. If you got moisture there, just leave it now.
Yeah. So this is time to stop watering.
If it's totally dry, then give it a last watering. Absolutely.
Right.
But if you can probe the soil and it's moist, just that's good enough.
A couple texts we didn't get to, we will answer off the air. But that's pretty much it for today. So are you gone next week?
We're all here next week.
Chocolate here is next week.
Right. Okay. So, excellent. Still tickets available today. Don't forget about that. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you same time, same place next Sunday morning. I'm Jay with Jill and Rick. This has been Garden Talk on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.